Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Chapter 2, The Strength of the Law. Without doubt, this phrase conveys to most people the idea of something harsh and repellent, of stern justice, keen to detect errors, and quick to administer severe punishment. How little such ones know of the law of the Lord. 4. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. 1 John 5 verse 3, since love is the fulfilling of the law, it is evident that the law itself is love, and therefore the strength of the law is the strength of love. The law is life, the life of God, and God is love. The strength of law is therefore the strength of love of God. This is made most beautifully clear and emphatic in the lesson before us. Moses was dead, and upon Joshua devolved the task of taking command of the hosts of Israel and leading them into the promised land. It was a work that might well have staggered the boldest man, even to contemplate it. Moses, the grand old man of all history, was not an easy man to succeed. Notwithstanding all the murmurings of the children of Israel against him, they could not help acknowledging his wonderful ability. It would be most natural for them to make disparaging comparisons if a weaker man took his place, and a stronger man it would be impossible to find. Joshua succeeded to the command just as the real work was beginning, that of driving out the inhabitants of Canaan and dividing their land among the Israelites. It may well be believed that his heart sank at the prospect, and this was the cause of the repeated commandment: be strong and of a good courage. It is here that we see the kindly strength of the law. God's gift of work is the promise of strength. The promise and the oath of God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are referred to as the basis of hope and courage. Instead of saying, "The task of possessing and dividing the land is so great that I cannot do it," Joshua could say, "God has sworn that the land shall be possessed by us, therefore we are well able to possess it," even as he had spoken 40 years before. And he could further say, "The Lord has given me the work of leading this people into the land, therefore I can do it." How natural it is to take counsel of our weakness instead of the promise of God. We say, "Here is a vast amount of work to be done at once, and I cannot do it, because I am weak and ill." Whereas we should say, "I am weak and ill, but I know that I shall be strong and well, because God has set a great work before me, which must be done at once." God never gives any man work which he cannot do. He does not trifle with his children. It may indeed be that we are not equal to the task, but our sufficiency is of God, who gives us the work in order that he may reveal to us and in us a new measure of his power, and develop qualities in us that we have hitherto lacked. So when a new and difficult task comes to us from the Lord, we are not to think of what we have hitherto been able to do, but of what God wills that we shall do. The word of life: the Lord our God is one Lord, and all his commandments are one law. So the words, "Be strong and of a good courage," only "be strong and very courageous." "Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage," have the same force as the Ten Commandments given from Sinai. God said to Joshua, "Be strong," and his words gave him strength. He speaks to us the great things of his law, and as we receive his commandments into our hearts and minds, the righteousness which they require comes with them. A striking instance of this is seen in the case of Daniel, to whom similar words were spoken. A wonderful vision had been given him, and fear had seized his companions, and they had fled. "Therefore I was left alone, and saw the great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into corruption, and I retained and no strength." Then follows the account of the angel coming to him, and talking with him, and we read further. "And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth, and spoke, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. To you is the word of this salvation sent. The same strength may be ours, for God himself has laid his hand upon us, and says to us, Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yeah, I will help you. Yeah, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Here are the same words that he spoke to Joshua, so we know that we may have the same strength that was given to him. We may not have as great a task as Joshua had, but we may be sure that, whatever the work, and however strong the enemies we have to contend with, whether within or without, strength amply sufficient will be given us. Our weakness is not once to be taken into consideration, but only God, who is the strength of our life. He even takes things that do not exist, to bring to naught things that are. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, has God chosen, yeah, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Take notice that the strength and prosperity that God gives do indeed come literally from his law. God said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success." Compare this with the first Psalm. The man whose delight is in law of the Lord, and who meditates in it day and night, has the assurance that he shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water, fresh and fruitful, and that whatsoever he does shall prosper. Yes, there is power in the law of God, the power of everlasting righteousness, the power of the living God. His commandment is life everlasting. It gives physical as well as spiritual life. My son, attend to my words, incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. This is indicated in the words of Joshua, for the Hebrew word rendered courage has the meaning of strength, alertness. The passage might well be rendered, be strong and alert, or be strong and swift-footed, or be strong and hardy. The man whose muscles are continually failing him when he wishes to use them, and whose nerves are all unstrung, cannot possibly be of good courage. Mind and body act and react on each other. The work that the Lord gives requires a clear head, steady nerves, and muscles trained to respond to every demand. And it was nothing less than this that God promised to Joshua, and that he promises to every one of us who will literally keep his law, keep it in the mind and in the flesh. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Who can talk of weakness when God has said, be strong? Such talk is nothing less than mutiny. It is rebellion. If he has said, be strong, and he has said it to everybody, there is nothing to be said except, amen, so let it be. It is the word of creation. God said, let this and that be. And it was so. Our part is simply to receive the word, and to study it, so that we may know how its life manifests itself. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you whithersoever you go. The same thing is still true. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. How many times we have repeated these words, and still have continued to be afraid, and have been dismayed at the prospect before us. Where then is our belief in God? Shall we not learn this lesson now? There may be many who will be able to repeat every verse in this Sunday school lesson, but no one will have learned it, unless he has learned not to be afraid, and how to be strong and well. Then he can say, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. E.J. Wagoner.